Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has won our full and free forgiveness by his death on the cross for us, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We read from chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. This is Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came up and asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you as many as 77 times," or in some translations, 70 times seven. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle them, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Because the man was not able to pay the debt, his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, children, and all that he owned, to repay the debt. Then the servant fell down on his knees in front of him, saying, 'Master, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything.' The master of that servant had pity on him, released him, and forgave him the debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began choking him, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and begged him, saying, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and threw the man into prison until he could pay back what he owed. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were very distressed. They went and reported to their master everything that had taken place. Then his master called him in and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt when you begged me to. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?' His master was angry and handed him over to the jailers until he could pay back everything he owed. This is what my heavenly Father will also do to you unless each one of you forgives his brother from his heart." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Forgiveness. What a wonderful word. What a blessed, comforting thought. We all want forgiveness. We want and expect others to forgive us. We want and expect God to forgive us for our many sins. It's just that it's very hard to give that forgiveness in return to others, isn't it? The reason Jesus had to tell us this parable. One Bible commentator wrote this: "In each one of us lurks the pride that demands satisfaction for a wrong and considers it weakness to forgive. Before we are aware of it, a raging vindictiveness can take over in our hearts and drive out a humble remembrance of God's forgiving mercy." This, of course, is not the type of attitude that Jesus wants from us. As his followers, an unforgiving attitude is not what we want either. We want to forgive like he forgives. We want to love others like he loves us. But that, of course, is easier said than done. The good news is that with his help, with his Holy Spirit working in our hearts, he can lead us to see how much he has forgiven us, and he can change our attitudes and reform our hearts to be forgiving and to forgive. We pray that he would lead us to this as we consider his powerful words in this parable from our text. This parable is prompted by Peter's question. Peter opens with a question where he's essentially asking Jesus, "How many times do I have to forgive my brother? How many times are we supposed to do this forgiving thing? Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And it's apparent that Peter probably thinks he's being pretty generous here. Seven was a number of significance to the Jews. It was seen as kind of a number of completeness or fulfillment. And if someone sinned against you seven times, that seems like a lot of times to forgive them. And yet Jesus tells him not seven times, but as many as 77 times. So that number of completeness multiplied by 10, Jesus is saying essentially here, forgive an unlimited amount of forgiveness. In order to make his answer clear to Peter, and of course also to us and those who would read this account in the future, Jesus goes on to tell a parable about a servant who owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, it's sometimes kind of hard to know exactly how to convert some of these New Testament units of money into modern day worth, but this is an incredible amount of money. You could probably find different estimates as to how much this is. It's roughly estimated by one commentary to be worth more than $50 billion. The point, of course, is that it's a lot of money. It's a debt that was unpayable. The servant could not pay it, and he was about to lose everything. His family, his possessions, he himself were about to be sold off into slavery. So he falls down on his knees, and he begs the master, "Master, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Amazingly, our text tells us that this master of that servant had pity on him. He released him, and he forgave that debt. Put yourself in the shoes of that servant. Going before that king with that massive debt, let's just say it is $50 billion. Imagine having that debt erased completely, just because of the mercy of this master. Imagine what that would feel like. The weight that would be lifted off your shoulders, the relief you'd feel from having this massive, unpayable debt completely and totally and freely taken away. Think of the joy you'd feel at now being miraculously debt-free. Now, what if after walking out of that master's chambers, you see a friend of yours come down the road who owed you a pretty decent amount of money, approximately, according to some estimates, several thousand dollars? Can you imagine then grabbing them by the throat and saying, "Pay up or else"? I think that's exactly what the servant does in this parable. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii was roughly a day's wages, so 100 denarii would be roughly a third of a year's wages. So we're not talking about an insignificant amount of money, but compared to $50 billion, this was not even significant in comparison. This servant grabbed his fellow servant, began choking him, saying, "Pay me what you owe." When this man then falls down at the first servant's feet and begs him in almost the exact same way, "Please have mercy on me, I will pay you everything," how does this man respond? But he refused. Instead, he went off and threw the man into prison until he could pay back what he owed. As you might expect, when the master hears what this servant did, he was furious. Then the master called him in and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt when you begged me to. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" His master was angry and handed him over to the jailers until he could pay back everything he owed. Any idea in the parables of Jesus what the allusion there is when he talks about throwing someone into prison? Sometimes it's followed by weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is an illustration of the torments of hell. And Jesus then concludes the text with these words of warning. "This is what my heavenly Father will also do to you unless each one of you forgives his brother from his heart." That's the parable. You've probably heard that parable before. It's one of Jesus' most familiar and most famous. Now let's do the hard part of applying it to ourselves. We, like this servant in our parable, have an enormous amount of debt before our God, our King, our Master. We are that first servant in this parable. It's a debt that is too large for us to pay. It's unpayable. The debt of our sins. And on our own, we can't even pay off one single sin, much less the countless millions, possibly billions of sins we have done in our lifetime and offended God with. That mountainous debt of our sins, even if it were just one sin, the Bible tells us would earn us eternal punishment. There would literally be hell to pay. But God in his mercy completely erased our sin debt, just like this master in the parable. Not one single sin is left on your record or mine because of what Jesus did. Not one penny of this wages of sin debt that we have is left to pay. How? Because Jesus paid that incredible debt for us by giving up his life as the atoning sacrifice, the sacrifice that was the payment for all of our sins on the cross. The Bible tells us this very plainly in a number of verses. 1 John 2:2. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice, the satisfactory payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's, his people's, sins against them. Why did God do this? Simply because he loves us. He loves us and wants us to live with him forever in his heavenly kingdom, and so he paid the debt that we owed him and saved us from the hell that we deserved. Think about that incredible love, the incredible mercy to take that enormous debt and just say, it's forgiven. It's washed away. Unlimited forgiveness. How does that make you feel to be spiritually debt-free when you think of that mountain of sins that God himself has washed away? Feels pretty good, doesn't it? Does it feel like a weight has been lifted off of your shoulders? A weight has been lifted off of your very soul? Now think about the times that others have sinned against you. We have to admit, sometimes people can hurt us pretty badly. Sometimes people sin against us over and over and over again. More than 7 times, as Peter mentions in this text. And those sins against us at times are not a small amount. You might even consider them to be several $1,000 sins in debt against us. But how big is that debt of sins against that mountain of sins that God has forgiven us in Christ? Who are we to be bitter, to be angry, to be vengeful, demanding payment for other people's sins against us when God has forgiven us literally the $50 billion sin debt that we owed him? That's Paul's point when he was writing these words in Ephesians chapter 4. Get rid of every kind of bitterness, rage, anger, quarreling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Beautiful verse, but listen to the end. Just as God in Christ has forgiven us. That's how we are to forgive each other. Yes, Pastor, I agree, but you don't know how badly I've been offended. You don't know how badly I've been hurt or wronged or mistreated. And yet Jesus tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. We feel that excuse welling up in our heads or in our hearts. Think of the example from the Old Testament of Joseph. What an incredible example of forgiveness played out in real life. Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery, abused him, mistreated him. In his time in Egypt, not only was he a slave, but after he had risen to some prominence, he was then thrown in prison. He was left in prison and forgotten in prison for years. Do you think Joseph could have built up some resentment, some anger, some malice toward his brothers during those years? Yet in the end, he not only forgave his brothers, but he was kind to them. He was incredibly generous to them and their families. Why? And how could he possibly have done that? Because Joseph knew the incredible love and goodness God had shown him in his lifetime. He says it himself. He saw how God had turned the evil that had been done to him, and God turned it around for good and raised him to second in command of all of Egypt. That's pretty miraculous. And he did so to save not only his family, his brothers and their families, but the line of the Savior. His brother Judah would be in that line of Jesus. So God used Joseph to save his family in the line of the Savior during those years of famine. Well, yes, Pastor, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. I will not forget. Again, Jesus tells us, forgive as we have been forgiven. Let's find an even greater example of forgiveness, and let's use the example of God himself, the one who knows all things and literally could never forget something unless he wanted to, shows us that truly forgiving includes forgetting. Forgiving from your heart, as he says in this parable, includes forgetting. Now, as imperfect people, we don't do this perfectly, do we? But look how God forgives. In his word, he says that he does it freely and forgets our sins. Psalm 103:12 that we just read responsively this morning. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their iniquity, another word for sin, and their sin I will remember no more. The God who cannot forget chooses to forget our sins. If God himself can forgive and forget our sins, who are we to say that we can't or won't when others sin against us? Yes, Pastor, but I got to find another loophole here. What if they're not actually sorry for what they've done to harm me? Surely Jesus doesn't require me to forgive them and be forgiving toward them. Still, Jesus tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Again, use the example of Jesus himself. Did he wait for us to be good enough? Did he wait for us to be worthy enough? Did he wait for us to be sorry enough before he paid the full debt of our sins on Calvary's cross? No, of course not. The Bible tells us this in the incredible verse from Romans chapter 5. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A few verses before that says, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Jesus died to pay for our forgiveness. Remember, Jesus, while nailed to that cross, committed himself to his heavenly Father and cried out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Remember that death that Jesus died on the cross paid for the sins of the whole world, for everyone. That means everyone's debt of sin has been paid for. That purchase of salvation was made for everyone. That would include people who don't believe in him, for people who are not sorry, for people who do not repent of their sins, even for those soldiers who, and the people who put him on the cross, who were not sorry for what they did when they crucified him there. Now, of course, the tragic thing is those who do not believe, those who reject him or refuse that forgiveness then is not made their own. But that forgiveness was there, is there. Jesus paid for those sins. He won that salvation for them. The fact is, Jesus was willing to die and forgive even them who did not ask for or were not sorry for their sins. Who are we then to say we refuse to forgive anyone who sins against us? That's why we pray what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we refuse to forgive, Jesus warns us, our Heavenly Father will likewise not forgive us. Why should we expect our Father's forgiveness if we are not willing to be forgiving and merciful toward others? We are then acting like that unmerciful servant in the parable. We're showing by our unforgiveness that we do not appreciate or value the forgiveness that God has given us. It shows a lack of love for God, a lack of faith in his forgiving love. And the devil wants us to have this satisfaction, or think that we can gain some satisfaction by nursing a grudge or even trying to get some revenge or enacting some sort of penance from someone else. And he wants us to believe that somehow we are justified in doing this. But such an unforgiving spirit, he doesn't tell us, is spiritual poison. It's spiritual poison to our hearts and our souls. It harms most of all us and threatens to destroy us completely. Thankfully, and here is the really, really good news, Amazingly, Jesus died to take away even our sins of unforgiveness. If he didn't, which one of us would be saved? I see no hands. Jesus died even to take away our sins of unforgiveness. That is one more reason to have a loving and forgiving heart toward others, even when they sin against us. The Apostle John urges us, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." When we forgive, we are the ones who are blessed. Conversely, when we do not forgive, we are the ones who are hurt spiritually. It's easy to talk about forgiveness in this parable. It's easy to see the truth in this story and say, that's absolutely right. But it's harder to return that love and that forgiveness in our lives. It is a struggle to forgive. It's hard to show love when someone hurts us badly. It's hard to move on and forget the sins of others when we just can't stop waking up to the memories and remember what they have done to us. We have memories, we have hurts that sometimes take a very long time to get over and forget. But think of how essential it is to forgive in any relationship. I think marriage probably comes to mind first of all when it comes to forgiveness. And in pre-marriage classes, I always tell couples that the most important words they will say to each other in marriage are not just, I love you, but I forgive you. But again, not just in marriage, but in every relationship, especially the deep ones, the ones with our families, our friends, our fellow Christians, our fellow church members, between members and their pastor. We need to be forgiving toward each other. We are sinners, living, working, and worshiping with fellow sinners. We're going to sin against each other at times, in fact, many times. At times, we are going to let each other down. We are going to hurt each other. We're going to make each other mad at times. We are going to offend each other. With the gospel of Jesus Christ, with prayer, and time and the work of the Holy Spirit, he can grow in us that forgiving spirit that grows, and the hurts that we have and the unforgiving heart that we have begins to fade away, and we can move on. I can forgive you. You can forgive me. We can forgive each other. Whatever the hurt, whatever the wrong, whatever the sin, we can give forgiveness. After all, think of how much forgiveness Jesus has given us. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.